We now move, which is contingent contract. Contracts are of two kinds, which could be either absolute or contingent. An absolute contract is one without any conditions. So one contract which is absolutely outright is an absolute contract. Now what we deal with here is a contingent contract. A contract which depends on an event which may happen or may not happen. There is a likelihood of it happening or there is a likelihood of it not happening at a particular point of time is called contingent. And therefore, A gives sample goods to B for approval. Now, when A is giving the sample goods to B for approval, there is a possibility that he may say yes, or there is a possibility that he may reject it. So this here is a contingency which may happen or may not happen. So the crux of contingent contracts is a contingency which is absolutely valid, whereas wagering agreements are void ab initio. We now move to contingent contracts. A contingent contract is a contract to do or not to do something if some event collateral to such a contract does or does not happen. The test of determining whether the contracts are contingent or not is uncertainty. Therefore, the three fundamental essentials of contingent contracts are: there is an existence of a contingency, which means an emergency or an exigency, the happening or non-happening of some event. The contingency must be uncertain, because something which is certain to happen cannot be contingent. An event must be collateral. Collateral means it is incidental or supplementary to the main contract, unlike a wager, which is the base of an agreement. A wagering agreement usually forms the foundation of a contract, whereas a contingent one is always which is collateral, or that is which is incidental or supplementary to the main contract. The enforcement of the contract contingent on the happening of a future uncertain event. A tells B, I shall pay you a sum of money if B marries C on a certain day. As we've already seen, friends, C is dead before the day. Now, the marriage cannot take place because here is an uncertain event which does not happen. So therefore, this is a contingent contract which depends on an uncertain event. Moving now to 33, enforcement of a contract contingent of the non-happening of a future uncertain event. A tells B, I shall pay you a sum of money if the ship does not return. Now, when can this take place? Only when the ship sinks. If the ship does not sink, obviously, this contract cannot be enforced, and therefore, here is a contingency of not happening or not taking place at a particular point of time. Contracts contingent on the future conduct of a living person. Here is a contingency which depends on whether a person will act in a particular manner. A tells B, I'll pay you a sum of rupees 1,000 if you marry C. A tells B, I'll pay you a certain sum of money if you marry C. Now B is already married to D. Now can the marriage between B and C take place? No, it does not happen, because it may happen that D may die and in future the marriage takes place. So this is the future conduct of a living person. Contracts contingent on a specified event happening within a fixed time. A enters into a contract with B and says, if my cargo which is loaded in the ship returns within 2 months, I shall pay you a sum of money. Now, this is obviously a contingent event, wherein the specified event is the ship returning within a fixed period of time. If it doesn't return, the contract doesn't go or obviously is not enforced, which is called a contingent agreement. Enforcement of contingent contracts on a specified event not happening within a fixed time. Here is the opposite case of what we said earlier, which states if the ship does not return within the fixed period of time, so that if the ship sinks, here is an eventuality which doesn't take place, so that the contract cannot be enforced. And finally, agreements contingent on impossible events. An event is rendered impossible when it cannot happen at any cost, so that A tells B, I'll pay you a sum of money if you marry C. C is already dead. So can the marriage of B to C take place? No, it cannot, because here is an impossible event. Or to give you one more illustration, A tells B, if you enclose this space with 2 bricks, I shall pay you a sum of money. Now this entire space or hall cannot be enclosed with 2 sticks. So this is an impossible event, which here is a contingent eventuality which cannot be enforced under Section 36 of the Indian Contract Act. Now, friends, we move to a very, very important area which indicates the points of differences between a contingent contract and a wagering contract. To give you a very simple essence before we move down into the distinction, a contingent contract is always valid. A tells B, if it rains today, I shall pay you a sum of money. If it does not rain, I shall not pay you. Now, wagering agreement on the contract, on the other hand, is one which is void. A tells B, if India obviously wins the cricket match against England, I shall pay you 1 lakh. But India loses, party B will have to pay party A, and therefore this is a wagering agreement which we have seen as far as games are concerned. In the Indian scenario, wagering agreements are void ab initio under Section 30 of the Contract Act. Now, let us move into the major aspects of the distinction. Contingent contracts are mutual promises. All contingent contracts are not wagers. Example, insurance contracts and contracts of indemnity and guarantee. Fine. Now, what is a contract of indemnification? I said, here is a compensation made by one person unto another in case there is any kind of default. Whereas, a contract of guarantee is a contract of surety, wherein the surety tells the creditor that, look, I will give you the money in case you protect the principal debtor. So, these are some of the contingent contracts. Wagering contracts by mutual promise conditional on the happening or not happening of an unknown event. All wagers are contingent, but all contingent contracts are not wagers, because contingent are valid, wagers are not valid and therefore void. Number 2, it is the determination of an uncertain event which is the sole condition of the contingent contract. Now here, the sole condition is one wherein it is not only the sole, but here it is collateral as well, whereas a wagering agreement is one wherein it is basically the sole condition of the contract. A contingent contract is not void, is perfectly valid. A wagering contract is void. The parties are interested in the occurrence or non-occurrence of the event. Whereas in wagering contracts, they are not interested in the occurrence or the non-occurrence of the event. The future event is merely collateral or incidental to the contract. The future event is the sole determining factor of the contract. And therefore, these are the points of distinction between a contingent contract and a wagering contract. Well, thank you. I think we have understood the essence of a contingent contract. which in short states it is a perfectly valid contract wherein it depends on an uncertain future event wherein the event can happen or may not happen. So the three ingredients, my dear friends, is that it is the happening or not happening. There is an element of uncertainty, and therefore here is an event which is collateral. Collateral means it comes later. In a wager, the match fixation or the betting is the main transaction, whereas in contingent, it forms an area which is incidental or supplementary to the main contract. Thank you very much.